A reading from Genesis. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
I heard a story once about a pastor who went to visit a woman in her home. He crossed her lawn and he knocked on the door. He could hear hurried feet thumping down the hall, but no one answered. He rang the bell, and the curtains fluttered. Still, no answer. Finally, he left a note on her door with the words, "Revelation 3:20. Which says, "I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." The very next Sunday, he found a sticky note on his office door with the words Genesis 3:10 written on it. When he looked it up in his Bible, the verse read, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Most of us are very self-aware when we are naked in the presence of others. We are vulnerable, risking exposure to another's judgment. After eating forbidden fruit, the man and the woman in Genesis became deeply aware of their own naked vulnerability. They had always known that the penalty for eating the forbidden fruit was death, but now they feared it in a way that they never had before. They made a desperate attempt to cover themselves by stitching fig leaves into loincloths. When they heard God's footsteps on the garden path, it suddenly dawned on them that not even clothing could conceal them from God's eyes. And they fled into the trees. The footsteps stopped. And the loving voice of the one whose breath they shared called out, "Where are you?" Their hearts must have broken. Could they bear the pain of hiding from their beloved forever? The man decided to brave the truth from the safety of the trees. "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to?" The terror of exposure overwhelmed the man, and he tried to hide even deeper. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Betrayed by her husband, the woman called out from elsewhere behind the trees, "Well, the serpent tricked me, and I ate." The man and the woman were deeply aware of their own nakedness before God, and it terrified them. Their fear of being vulnerable made a deeply satisfying communion with God and one another impossible. Now, God created us with an overwhelming drive for communion. But we cannot draw close to another without becoming vulnerable. Maureen could feel her longing for communion with a tall, athletic boy in her seventh grade class. Lately, he had been sending her text messages asking for naked photos. He sweet-talked her. "You're so beautiful. Don't be ashamed of your body. I won't show anyone." Her desire to be known intimately and loved triumphed over her reservations. She sexted him a photo of herself in her bra and her underwear. And within a week, the boy was showing the photo to his classmates and texting it around the lunchroom. Maureen became aware of her own naked vulnerability that day, and she was filled with terror. She told the Washington Post reporter who covered her story that the boy was telling everyone that he didn't even ask for the photo, that she sent it because she was so desperate for his attention. The boy's lies stripped her inner being naked before her friends, her classmates, and her family, exposing her crush. And his betrayal rippled across her network of friendships and relationships with disastrous consequences. Her social media accounts began filling up with hateful comments like "gross," "slut," and "go kill yourself." She tried to hide herself at home, pretending to be sick. Her parents even considered sending her to another school. But the damage was done. Communion with her beloved was impossible, and her isolation grew. We've each had our own experience of Maureen's story, whether we've been betrayed by someone that we trusted with our true self, manipulated through our own vulnerability, or been despised by others for our own nakedness. The juice of forbidden fruit still runs down our chins, and we fear being hurt in our vulnerability. And our fear of vulnerability prevents us from enjoying the deeply satisfying communion that God created us for. Yet God did create us for communion, which means that God also created us to be vulnerable. God loves us in our vulnerability beyond anything that we can imagine. Many of us have been raised to believe that deep and abiding communion with God comes from perfect obedience to God's commandments. But I see evidence in our reading from Genesis that suggests communion begins with our vulnerability. The first people should have died from eating forbidden fruit, but God had mercy on them. They hid themselves from God's presence, betrayed one another, and passed blame to everyone, including God. But God had mercy on them. God saw the very things that the people did not want God to see. God saw the parts of the people that they tried to conceal from everyone, possibly even from themselves. God beheld the people in their nakedness. And God loved them. Deep and abiding communion with God does not depend on perfection. It depends solely on how our beloved responds to our nakedness. Tragically, the first man and woman could not see this. Even though they had lived naked before God for quite some time, they felt that they had needed to hide their transgression. I have to wonder what would have happened had they remained vulnerable. What would have happened if they had taken responsibility for their actions rather than trying to hide? What would have happened if they had just asked for God's forgiveness? we will never know. They did not trust God to be merciful, and they hid from God's presence in fear. God embraces our nakedness through Jesus Christ, clothing us with his righteousness. Knowing our fear of judgment and death would prevent us from entrusting ourselves to God, God became vulnerable in the body of our Lord. Jesus suffered his own experience of Marine's story, betrayed by a close and dear friend, manipulated by a false witness, and publicly ridiculed on the cross. We stripped him naked, making him a symbol of our fear. Yet God embraced his nakedness by raising him from the dead and confirming his righteousness. Through his resurrection, God promises mercy to a world in hiding. And through faith, God covers our nakedness with his righteousness. We can either respond to each other's nakedness as Marine's crush and her classmates did, with judgment and ridicule. Or we can respond to one another's nakedness as God does, with acceptance and all-embracing love. If we respond as God does, we will discover that a new vulnerability has become possible, because our nakedness is clothed in Jesus' righteousness. All of our imperfections, all of the things that we try to conceal, all of the things that we are ashamed of have been covered by God, so that we do not perpetuate evil in a futile attempt to cover up ourselves. In God's mercy, we may stand in God's presence, unashamed and unafraid. In God's mercy, the hateful judgments like those on Marine's social media accounts are silenced forever. Jesus wears our nakedness as surely as we wear his righteousness. This also ripples out into the world through our network of relationships, restoring communion and giving life. We are privileged to know our Lord in our own vulnerability, in the vulnerability of our family and our friends, even in the vulnerability of our enemies and those who hate us. True communion begins where we see others clothed in Christ and take their identities, their longings, their struggles, and their fears seriously. True communion grows where we trust in Christ's righteousness rather than in our own, by taking responsibility for our actions and our choices. True communion thrives where we can live in the open, basking in the light of God's love and mercy. Apart from God's presence, we have nothing but loneliness and fear. In God's presence, we know our beloved in the depths of our souls, and we feel our longing for communion satisfied at last. Intimacy, compassion, freedom, and life are all gifts that arise from vulnerability. The very fabric of creation is woven from the nakedness of God and all humanity. God embraced us when we hid ourselves in fear, and God has given us the ability to embrace others by clothing us in Christ. We continue to wait with hope for the new creation, where all will live together in perfect vulnerability, knowing neither fear nor shame. Until that day, let us bear witness to the love that clothed us and gave us life.